And that is the prize. That is the greatest gift that we could have. And our principle for today is our desires to become more like Jesus Christ. We've been talking about that, to have the mind of Christ. And that should be our goal, is to become more and more like him. So this is hopefully going to be encouraging to you, because we get to see kind of some of the benefits, if you will, of knowing Christ. So let's open up in prayer, and then we'll get to work on this passage. So Lord, I just thank you for today. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the grace and mercy you show us each day. And Lord, I pray that just the excitement that I have of being able to spend time in your word, just looking at this section of scripture, would be evident to them, to the congregation. But I pray that it would do more than just be exciting, but instead it would actually help people want to implement this idea of having the mind of Christ and what it means to live like that. So Lord, I just thank you. Thank you that we are a part of this season right now. But as Paul had mentioned, just that it's more than just his birth. That's an important part, integral part of this. But it is, we need to worship him, celebrate him every day. And so we just thank you, Lord. And again, thank you for this time we have together to look into your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we're in Philippians 3. A couple weeks ago, we looked at this part, but because it all goes together, just kind of, I don't want to say so much as a review, but I think because of where we're going, this helps us remember some of these things. So let's read Philippians 3, 7, 8, and 9. It says, but these assets I have come to regard as liabilities because of Christ. This is Paul saying all of the accomplishments he has as a man, he was a Pharisee above all Pharisees. He was a religious person, and he's saying, I disregard these things because of Christ. Christ is greater. Verse 8 says, more than that, I now regard all these things as liabilities compared to the far greater value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Indeed, I regard them as dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not because I have my own righteousness derived from the law, but because I have the righteousness that comes by way of Christ's faithfulness, a righteousness from God that is in fact based on Christ's faithfulness. So this morning, as we look at this, you have an outline in your bulletin, and you can follow along with that, and you can see some of the things that are there. But just remember, one of the four things of becoming a child of God is we have a new righteousness. We have something that we could not have on our own. We needed him to give it to us. We get it through faith. And because of that, faith in Christ alone, we can take out the trash. So those things that may even be accomplishments, may even be titles that we may have. Do we count it as trash? Do we count it as something that is, in comparison to Christ, something that you're willing to give up to serve God better? It's kind of an interesting thought. This idea of taking out the trash, part of it is, even in our own thinking, when we feel like we can do it for ourselves, this is the idea he's trying to get across, because Paul was like, I could do it. But he's saying, that's not what I want. I want Jesus Christ. So part of it has to do with, and again, taking out the trash, is being willing to count those things that we find so important as rubbish, as dung, compared to who Christ is? Are you willing to throw away those things in order for Christ to be exalted? And that's something all of us have to do, because we all have trash. We all have things that we think about or things that we find to be very important to us. But are we willing to put those aside so that we can see Christ? So one of the things that is important is when Paul came to Christ, he stopped working and rested in the perfect righteousness of Christ. We're going to talk about this a little bit more during communion, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time with this. But, you know, again, we need to, in the church, we need to judge people simply by the fact that they have faith in Christ. Not about what they do, not about what title they have, not about how much work they do in the church. We need to base it on what he is talking about that faith. Now, should we be serving in the church? Should we be doing things in the church? Yes, we should. But it's out of because of who he is and what he has done, then I want to do. It's not a matter of doing so that I'm better in Christ's eyes. That's not it. And we have to be careful that we don't do things because it may even look good. But we need to do things because we want to serve the King of Kings, the one who one day will come. So this righteousness that Paul gained is because of Christ. And that is the same thing that we need to focus on. Again, not from the work that we do, not from the work Paul was doing, but because of the work Jesus Christ has already done, because of what he did on the cross, because of what he will do in setting up his eternal kingdom. He is the one who paid for our sins. He is the one who has given us the free gift of eternal life. It is all about him. So as we look at this, I just, you know, again, just to try and maybe capture this as an illustration, I mean, do you ever have that sin that's kind of, you can't quite get rid of? That thing that keeps coming back around, that keeps popping up. Sometimes you know it, sometimes you don't know it. But it's one of those things. Are we willing to cling to Christ and be willing to keep working at getting rid of this? Asking God to help us to do that, asking the Holy Spirit to help us to do that so that we can be more like Christ. We were talking about this morning that as we are to be reflecting Christ to other people, not only in the church, but wherever we go. Are we doing that? So it's a matter of desiring to get rid of those things that keep us from being what Christ wants us to be. So something that I have written down here, it is very easy to see our religious behavior as something we should hang on to. Paul is saying he is not interested in keeping his old ways of striving to be right with God. He was putting them out to the trash, never to be trusted in again. And I think should be our desire. How can we get rid of those things? Can we ask God to help? Are we focusing on him, or are we focusing on ourselves? Ephesians, if you're looking at another verse that is similar to that, Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 24, talks about that putting off, to put on Christ, to put on that righteousness that comes from him. Instead, though, we are to cling to Christ. Again, those gains that we think are so important from a human perspective, Paul is saying, count it as loss for the sake of Christ. And I think as we'll be looking at this, are we humbly looking at? Are we humbly gaining a future because of Jesus? Do we see it that way? And I hope you do. One of the things that I thought was encouraging was, as Josh had mentioned in the prayer time, that Marie is serving the Lord in different ways, in different places. We can't disclose that because of where she goes. But it's interesting how she has been going through some rough times, and yet she is praising God. She wants God to be glorified even in the difficult times. Even in the suffering, she wants to praise God. Because she knows that without him, what is there? So as we get to know Christ for ourselves, then we need to trust and do. As that faith becomes more evident in our lives, as we start to learn what that is and who he is, are we willing to be obedient to him, to trust him? I was thinking about it again, just as a way of thinking about it. When you were dating someone, maybe that person's your spouse now, but when you were dating someone, what did you do? You spent time with them. You got to know them. You got to find out their likes and dislikes. You got to find out more about them. You got to experience that person. And it is, and again, it's a cheesy illustration, but in the same way we would pursue someone, a person, we need to pursue Christ and get to know him that way. See, Paul was living daily to seek him. Again, he's writing from prison, writing in difficult circumstances, and yet he was willing to suffer. In fact, he said, I want to suffer so that I can get to know him better. That's interesting. Very different kind of thinking than what we would think about today. We try to do everything that would avoid suffering at all costs. Paul's saying, I was willing to even suffer so that I would know him better. I would understand him better. See, Paul's ultimate goal was to become more like Christ. So we see Paul's passion to know Christ, but also I want you to notice how this works out in every day. Let's read verses 12 through 14. He says this, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. So this is Paul, and he is saying, I have not arrived yet. And again, we put Paul up on a pedestal, and he's like the one that we kind of look to, but he's like, I have not reached completion. I am not done yet. But I press on, and that's key. I press on to possess that perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, putting aside those things so that I can go forward for Christ. I press on to reach the end of the race, to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I think it's interesting as we look at this idea of forget your failure and press on. That can be a hard thing to do. Forget that to move forward. Usually those are the things that stick in your brain. You ever do that? Where you do all these, and we'll say good things, but it's that one mistake that sits in the back of your brain, and that's the thing that you spend more time with. Why is that? But Paul is saying we need to press on. We need to forget those things. We need to look at what Christ is doing through us even. See, looking at past failures enslaves us. Instead of having the freedom that we can have in Christ, it enslaves us. We need to forget it. You need to put it aside. Looking to the future frees us. And again, think of that. He wants us to be able to live for him. If we're going to, again, reflect that light to others, point them to Christ, to encourage them to know him, and not just be a part of some religious group, we need to be free to reach out for him. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. See, we all have a past, but we can move forward from there to a better place as we fix our eyes on Christ, as we cling to him, and seek daily to remember the righteous standing we have in him. See, sometimes our state, how we think, changes because we're sinful and we get distracted by things. So sometimes our state changes a little bit, but our standing will never change because we are justified by him, by faith alone in him. So wouldn't it be great to spend less time thinking about the past and moving forward and seeing what God has for us for the future? See, that righteousness is always there regardless of how good we are. That's a wonderful thing. But again, it's changing our perspective, changing our attitude, that our desire is because of who Christ is and because of what he has done, we want to do things that glorify him. And again, not out of obligation, not out of striving to be perfect, but again, to give glory to him. So we need to daily choose to press on and do the things that he has for us to do. We need to grow in who he is and know who he is. This morning we were during the Sunday school time, just took four sections of scripture, and it was all different kind of aspects of who Christ is. And as we focus on who he is, that's actually going to change us. That helps us, again, press on and forget about those things from the past. It also, when we focus on him, it moves from religion to relationship. I'm sure you've heard that before. We want that relationship with him. We want to know him better because it's important that we do. He is the one who we will be with forever. And we get to know him now. How awesome is that? So sometimes we're going to mix those things. We're going to have things that keep popping up that's there. That's part of us being human. That's part of hopefully we learn to sin less. We will never be sinless until we get to glory, until we're with him in heaven. That's when we're perfected. Again, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But for this time, we would need to focus on him and all that he has done. Now, we're going to skip down a little bit from these verses, 14. We're going to skip 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. And we're going to jump down to this new home. So this is another part of what we have, one of those four things that Paul wanted us to know about as becoming a child of God. We become a new citizen. And this is where I was thinking about, again, with President Trump. When he comes onto the playing field, everybody stands up. They're honoring him because of the position that he has. You may not like him. Doesn't matter. He's the president of the United States. So you stand. And you honor him. And again, it was interesting to watch as he's interacting with the football players, because he doesn't just, you know, go up, do the thing, and leave. He spends time, even in those moments, with people. What's interesting is with this, in the context of what we're talking about with the Philippians, and I brought this up a while ago, but you have to remember, Philippi is a Roman colony. So they are subject to the Roman Empire. And they want good citizens, just like you would want in the United States. You want good citizens, productive citizens, people who are doing the right thing, they're following the orders. One of the things that they needed to do whenever Nero would come. So remember, Nero is evil. There's no other way around it. He's not a good guy. And he is certainly in it just for himself. But they had to say, "Our Lord Nero." So think of it. We've been singing all this morning. We're talking about Jesus. He is our soon and coming king. He is the one that we want to say, "Our Lord Jesus Christ." But these people, as subjects of the Roman Empire, whenever he was there, it had to be "Our Lord Nero," because he thought of himself as a god. But think of it, Jesus is our king. He shows grace and mercy and truth. He will show perfect justice. He will judge correctly. And again, you can look, if you are looking at the news, you just see, unfortunately, the corruption all the time. But one day, well, sometimes we put on Jesus, like, "Oh, I can't trust him fully," because we see that example of people. We see the example of men, and unfortunately, we lose heart, I suppose. But he wants us to look to him that one day he will rule well. He will rule perfectly. He is our Savior and Lord. So not only do we get this, so verse 20 says, "But we are citizens of heaven." So I also want to point out, you are now. We're not there yet, but you are now. You have a place. We have a place for us as a citizen of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Another part of this, so one day he will return. We are citizens. The other part that we get, I'll come back to this. The other part that we get is we get a new body. Now, I put a Teflon body. I'm sure there's probably something that's stronger than that or greater than that. But it's like, how do you explain what a glorified body will look like? I mean, because Jesus ate. After he was resurrected, he did eat. He was able to walk through walls. It's like, so are we going to have a glorified body that, you know, that's what we can do? I don't know. I mean, but what we do know is that it will be incorruptible. It will be something that's eternal. It will always be. Let's go back to this one. This is 1 John 3:2. It says, "Yes, dear friends, we are already God's children. We can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do know that when he comes, we will be like him." So this is that idea of what is this glorified body like? Whatever he is like now, that's what we will be like. "For we will see him as he really is." That's pretty exciting. One day he will come. We will know it is him. So one day we will receive an eternal, perfect body. Something that is strong. Something that is not weak. Something that does not break down. So So think of it. At his coming, the sleeping believers will be raised and the living believers will be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:53 says this, "For our perishable earthly bodies must be transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die." That's 1 Corinthians 15. That's a great chapter to go through. And we will receive that eternal glorified body. So instead of having these natural bodies, we will have spiritual bodies. Not only that, but we will have a new home. We will have a new country as a child of God. This is where we will dwell forever. I mean, that is exciting. We will be with him forever, and we will be in this perfect body just as he is. Another part of this is going back. So we looked at the prize, what we get as a child of God. When you repent and put your trust in him and put your faith in him, you become a child of God. So then it also talks about let all who are spiritually mature. So we're going to be talking about this pattern of life that we're supposed to be following. So let us, all who are spiritually mature, agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. In other words, don't go back. And we'll get into that in a minute. Dear brothers and sisters, be. So there are exclamation points. I like exclamation points. That's the emphasis on things. So if you have a Bible, if it says be or pattern your lives after or being or becoming, depends again on your translation, patterning your life after mine, exclamation point. It's something that he is emphasizing. Do this. And not only that, but learn, exclamation point, from those who follow our example. So those two parts, Paul is saying, follow me, not because I'm perfect, not because I have everything under control, but because I am patterning my life after Christ. And then learn from those examples. We talked about Paul and Timothy and Silas. We talked about Epaphroditus, these people who Paul points out in this letter and says, pattern your life after those who are following after God. It's the same thing we ought to be doing as well. Who around you do you see patterning their life after God? Follow them. Learn from them. That is what he wants us to do. If the goal is to have the mind of Christ. So in verse 18, let's continue on this, because he again gives a warning. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes. And I think, once again, here's that emotional side of Paul. And he's just saying, I want you to be aware of what is just outside the door. Because you have the stuff of this world and the teachings of this world. We have the idea that we make Christ in our image instead of what the Bible says. Avoid those people. Why? Because they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They're teaching something that is not what we have taught you. And he tells them, at the beginning of chapter 3, if you wanted to look back there, I believe in verse 2, he says, beware of the dogs, beware of the mutilators of the flesh. Don't follow them, don't follow their ways. Why? Verse 19, they are headed for destruction. And again, we kind of like Jesus. We like the fact that he loves us, he shows us grace, he shows us mercy. But do we remember that we have to get a full picture of who he is, we have to also recognize him as the one who's going to judge. He judges perfectly. He judges fairly. But he will judge. And there are going to be those who do not accept Christ that are heading for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about life here on earth. So see that contrast that Paul is making? All the accomplishments of people. He says, get rid of it. Don't make that your focus. Because, again, you can get caught up in that and miss what you're supposed to be doing here on earth as a child of God, as one who's following the King, the one who is going to reign one day. So again, pattern your life after mine because, again, not because it's perfect, but because I desire to have the mind of Christ. We have a marvelous promise in this that we can get to know God. Isn't that amazing? We get to come here. We get to spend time together learning and worshiping Him. You can do that. You can go home. When you go home, you can spend time in His Word. You can learn about Him. But again, beware of those who teach a religion versus a relationship with Christ. So faith in Jesus is enough. Another good scripture. So I know some of you like the scriptures that are connecting with these things. Romans 8, you can read more of this in between 8, verse 5 and 9, which is really good. But those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. That should be what our desire is. That's having the mind of Christ. But you are not controlled. So again, Paul is writing this to another group of people, and he's trying to encourage them, but you are not controlled by the sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. You believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've repented of your sin and you have put your faith in Him, you get the Holy Spirit. But that's where our focus should be. And again, what a great season this is to be walking and rejoicing in the Spirit. How awesome it is that we get to do that. You get to do that as you leave here, you do it here, but you get to do it when you leave here. And you get to share that light with others. So again, our desire should be to become more like Christ. And that's sometimes it looks more like a roller coaster. It's kind of like up and down, good days, bad days kind of thing. Hopefully more good days. But it's this progressive sanctification. So I just want to share this with you. This is just kind of a summarizing of some of what I got. But it was like with our future. One day we will know Him more completely. We'll have a glorified body like His. We will be citizens under His perfect rule, and we will be subjects in His kingdom. That paragraph will actually lead to the next part of the next study we do after Philippians is done. We have two more times together with Philippians, and then in January we'll start a new study. But it's this idea of what does it mean to be a subject of the King? What does it mean to live for Him and who He is and to be citizens of God? So we'll be looking at that come January. But again, just some opportunities to worship and opportunities to grow. Remember, you are a child of God. Sometimes just as simple as that. Do you remember in those times when you're alone, those times when nobody else sees, you're a child of God? Again, different things that we talked about today. Spend time with God in His Word. Sometimes January is a nice time to restart Bible study, making sure that's something that you do on a regular basis. But learn to walk and rejoice in the Spirit. Be imitators of Him. And that's what He wants us to be doing. Today we're also going to be taking communion. And we have a hymn before we go. So I'm going to have Paul come up. And then I want to talk a little bit more about this idea of perfection, and then we will be taking communion together.